Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Destiny and Fate and how it's used in science fiction and fantasy. And we get into a heated discussion about copyrights and deep linking. For more information about the news and the links we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey, welcome everybody.
Hello, my geeklings.
The boys are back.
Boys are back.
And there's gonna be trouble.
For those of you joining us, this is the first episode that the geeks of Geeks On have done for a little while. Last week was our ladies episode, and a special thank you to the ladies for coming in and doing our Valentine's Day special, which we hope will become an annual event.
Definitely.
We have to expand the topics next time.
I want to figure out who's who, you know, which girls correlate to which guys, even though, because I don't think it's a direct one-to-one ratio. I felt like Kat was much more Peter.
Okay, no, that terrifies me on too many levels to analyze which of your friends your girlfriend is.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, that's just wrong.
That's really best not to let the brain wander in that direction, Matt.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I've just turned... Okay, fine.
That's like saying you're banging around with Peter.
No!
Matt's banging Peter!
Trying to tell me something there, Matt? No. Well, Lisa was kind of Aaron.
Kat's less hairy.
Much.
All right.
Lisa is their Aaron, isn't she?
Why? Yeah. Because she sort of waits back. She's the uber geek.
How dare you?
She's and also the geek herder.
Right, you know? She is the geek herder. She's sort of bringing it in. Yeah, you see? See, now you're interested.
Oh, God, no. My brain's going to start bleeding if I start thinking about this.
All right. Anybody have an interesting geek week?
Well, I just want to dedicate this show to Robert Adler. Died 93, creator of the remote
without
control.
Without him, we would be getting off of our couch.
We are him. We would.
Do any of you remember first remote control?
Yeah, the big block one.
With the cord?
With the cord. That's what I had.
I didn't have one with a cord. Yeah, I just had the big block one.
We had a VCR the size of a small Buick, and it had a big cord that came out of it to attach to the remote control.
Yeah.
And the cord, it wasn't just a cord. It was the thickest cord that I ever had in my house growing up. And I actually jump roped with it. Like, I made my cat, like, dance with the cord all the time.
That's funny. Know? Yeah, I remember the cord. And we didn't have a cord... Actually, I don't think I had a remote for my television until we had a VCR with a remote. Because our television had the knob, knob. So.
I love the knob. Yeah, that gesture in conversation is now useless to a whole generation.
Yeah, changing the channels gesture. Yeah. Hand absolutely. Reached in front of you as though gently grabbing a nipple and tweaking.
Without him, there is no Xbox 360 wireless controller. So
that's true.
No Wiimote.
Right, you're right. He is
the father of a new age.
Come on. Yeah, it's like the guy who created, what was it, ramen noodles died. And I was thinking they should create a holiday on college campuses for that guy every year. I mean, come on. He keeps college students alive across the country.
True.
I also, I read Scar Knight.
Scar Knight.
Yeah, which is a book. It's written by the creator and programmer of Grand Theft Auto. It's very interesting. It's the one I lent to you. And I also read House of M, which was the new alternate reality if Magneto was in power and the mutants were a majority and the humans were a minority. Interesting, but not my favorite.
I've been on a Rome kick in what little free time I've had. I picked up Civ City Rome, which is... combination of the old Caesar and Cleopatra games.
I love
made by the same people.
I love
combined
Caesar.
With Civilization.
Okay,
if you loved Caesar, you would love Civ City Rome. It's like a cleaned up, more logical version of Caesar.
But how did they combine it with Civ?
Well, is so really, the crunchy. Only way they combined it with Civ is there is now a tech tree for your settlements where you can study, like, you know, the alphabet and study coinage. And all the different things you study
so you're not
make
really,
your city more efficient. And
you're not really
ways.
Mining and farming and stuff like that.
Yes, you are.
Oh, you are.
Yes, you build little mining camps. You build farms. that if they're too far away from your settlements, slows down production because you actually watch the people running out to the farm.
So is it more graphically intense than Civ is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But I, as I was playing Civ City Rome, I caught up on the latest season of Rome.
so you're going full on.
I'm full on Rome.
It is good.
And I was crushed to listen to the last podcast, our last podcast, to discover that Rome has been canceled.
Yeah.
I was horrified.
Not picked up, yeah.
Well, yeah. But,
Not because people don't love it, just it's too expensive to make.
Yeah, and one of the things was, I was talking to my friend Mike when I was in New York recently, and he was talking about how much it was per episode as opposed to what it looks like. I mean, to me, it doesn't look... It looks okay, a grade or two better than a Xena show, but it doesn't look that much like
it's not
that
Enterprise.
Much better to be worth that much money. I mean, just go film in New Zealand or something.
Well,
you know,
well they're filming on location essentially, and then they're have all sorts of digital.
Well, I heard the big problem was an extremely large soundstage that's the center of all their productions. Like, if just the maintenance for that one soundstage was ridiculous.
Yeah, because they have to make it look like an ancient Roman city.
Right, but you know? I mean, a lot of times that's not like they're wearing togas and they're just outside the woods and where's the money going?
Have you watched Rome?
Yeah,
Or
three times. I mean, yeah, but they have they'll have like one pull-in shot, or something like that.
They have a massive city that they shoot all over it. I mean, all over it.
Looking at these locations, wondering, like, how did they pull all of these locations? Because they are all over the place.
They are all over the place. You haven't seen enough of it to understand why it's difficult. Because they're not shooting on the same location constantly.
But they could probably made that cheaper. Otherwise, they plan on doing a George R. R. Martin television series, and you think that's going to be cheaper?
Just hoping that they scuttle.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be cheaper because castles stay the same. Cities don't.
What do you mean?
Well, a great deal of George R. R. Martin in his stuff takes place in castles, takes place
in medieval woods, European castles. That's okay.
Those exist. Whereas to build Rome, the city, to make it look
those are
like
all
it,
digital extensions. You don't think they're going to do that with George R. R. Martin sets?
No.
They're going to have to with certain things like Dragonstone.
The digital isn't what's making it expensive, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fact that they have a soundstage, which is the largest soundstage in the world.
I think they could have probably done the same exact show, and there may have been some little... It looked a little bit different. But it could have been a lot cheaper.
Well, maybe I got to watch it.
I can't help thinking if they did it that way, though, it would look like all the other BBC Roman epics, which usually don't look good.
Yeah.
They don't.
Do you think Battlestar Galactica is that much... more or less expensive looking than Rome?
Less. Significantly less.
Do you think it's
really?
Because...
I don't think so. Well, I haven't seen enough.
It's the same gray plastic background for most all shots. It's just plastic walls.
Well, they're
cheap. And they can redress the walls. I mean, and they can redress it.
And they have quarters and they have hallways.
Right, but I've seen, the three episodes that I've seen of Rome, mm-hmm. A lot of times they're shooting inside Stone Hut, mm-hmm. outside in big, massive desert with lots and lots of warriors.
How many Stone Huts have you seen in Rome?
None.
You've only seen three episodes. He's right. You've got the guy's house, the Centurion Warman's house. Okay,
it's a
big hut. Anyway, it's a set.
We got the
woman's house. It's two rooms of the woman's
house. The
guy
lives on a third story, and the woman's house is a swimming pool.
Hold on. Let's actually stop because, so you've got the guy's house, which was actually big enough to make into a restaurant. Okay.
Which doesn't compare to the bridge of the Battlestar Galactica.
Hang on. So you've got that location.
Okay.
Then you have
the Roman Senate.
Right.
You have the Roman Senate.
Hangar Bay of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Okay. Then you have the big, large, ginormous palace, which...
Which you only see two rooms of.
Which Caesar's... No, you see all over it.
Whatever, who cares?
Then you have palace.
All right, it's more expensive.
Okay.
Got it.
Then you've got like all these stuff throughout the city streets constantly. You know, then you've got the big giant.
I think Battlestar Galactica has the saving grace that most of it takes place on a ship where everything can look the same.
I'm telling you, it is cheaper. I'm just saying that the difference between the two is not so extreme.
Exactly, that it should
that
be
you're
that.
Like, oh
much,
my God, no
that should
wonder.
Be that much
Battlestar
money.
Battlestar Galactica is like, you know, it looks like Doctor Who. No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, and on top of that, like, I mean, the most recent... Did you see the most recent one?
Battlestar Galactica or Rome?
Rome.
Yes, I'm up to date.
I mean, you know, I don't know how many extras they had for that, but there were a lot.
They do a really good job with their crowd scenes. Like,
I mean, that was
one
was
other thing, if you watch Rome, if you haven't watched Rome yet, and you're going to watch it soon, pay attention to one thing. Matt said something very interesting. Mm. You said, you know, I remember this big battle scene where all this stuff happened. Now, when I was watching Rome, I realized afterwards that I had the impression that I'd seen a bunch of battle scenes. The truth is, I think there may be two in the entire run of the show. And the rest of the time, they just cut around the battle in such a way where, like, you know, announcement to war happens and then announcement to victory happens.
Yeah, and a bunch of dead
but
guys.
You still get the impression that you watched a battle.
Yeah. You
know?
The most recent one, you watched a battle. I mean, it was intense.
Yeah, there was some good stuff.
It was a bit, and it was big. You know,
I had one quick moment that I thought was very funny. I went to see the movie Breaking and Entering, which was interesting. It was good. But the lead child actor in that was a child actor I had just watched in Rome, right? Who was so slimy and sleazy. The child character he played.
Octavius?
It was
the assassin.
Yeah, the assassin character. I don't think that's much of a spoiler for people, but I was so rooting against him in Rome that I couldn't bring myself to like the extremely kind and good character he was playing in Breaking and Entering. I just hated him from the moment he came on screen.
Hmm. So, well, my Geek Week, I got a Wii, Nintendo Wii.
Wii,
and we've been playing Nintendo
Wii.
Wii. I'm
so addicted to Wario. I'm like every time I walk into your home, like the eyes swivel towards the Wii.
That is some weird MFing game, man.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, I mean, like it's true. The Wii's graphics are nothing compared to the 360 or the PS3.
But it's not trying to.
It's not trying to, and it is so much fun. You don't care. Not in a million years.
I think it's a great party game thing. I'll have to see what the individual games are more.
I have no desire to get any game that I would play by myself on that game. I bought the only games that I got were ones that my friends could come over and play with, but that's it.
Although freaking spraying carrot juice and weird attacking scuba bunnies was like what?
Yeah, they're all like on crack cocaine.
I heard the Zelda game is really good, so I'm curious to see that one.
Yeah, got a really high rating in GameSpot. So
yeah,
but that's a GameCube game.
Oh, is it?
Right.
Yeah, but it's got a different
control scheme,
which is what's supposed to make it fun.
Yeah.
So,
the other thing is that Geeks On, if you don't know already, Geeks On has an Xbox Live group that's starting. If you go to our website and go to our forum section under the video games, there's a Geeks On Live section. So every week there will be a poll about what video game we're going to play. And then we're all going to meet up on, I think, maybe Monday nights or maybe twice a week, depending on...
You should do it twice a week. That way, if you miss it the first time, you can go to
the
second.
So it depends on, you know, the time Nacho has and, you know, how many people are going to show up. But it's all going to be only going to be members of Geeks On and people and you know, friends of Geeks On, so we don't have any strangers and weirdos yelling into the damn mic.
Woo.
We'll be playing, I think this week
you
we're
guys
playing...
You suck! You suck!
You're gay! Although, you know what? I played World of Warcraft just to see what the new characters are like. Those characters are gay.
Yeah.
They're gay. I mean, it's not even like, ha ha ha, you gay. No, they're gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to create a character named Gayness specifically because they were so gay.
How are the Draenei?
They're kind of cool. Both of the new races are so uber, it's like not worth playing any other race but them.
I knew that was going to be a problem.
Ridiculous.
When they put out an expansion just for one race per side.
Exactly.
That race is going to get so much attention and so much focus.
The new blood elves can suck magic from other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, why? You know,
it's pretty powerful.
That's really powerful. So.
And the Draenei.
More sucking.
More sucking and blowing. Damn it.
The Draenei turn invisible or what's their name?
Yeah, something like that. They have ridiculous powers.
Well, the night elves could turn invisible.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywhoozy.
So are you playing...
No, 100%? Not at all. I played it in New York at my friend's house, and it was really cool. And He's probably deleted gayness by now. So the name's up for bids if anybody wants it. Oh, we should also mention that we are now on dig.com. Go and dig us. Yeah. We have a bunch of digs already, but
we were on the front page of the television film. You have to go under the podcast section, and under television and film, Geeks On is there. Everyone should go and dig us. This is kind of our birthday anniversary episode.
Please dig us.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought we started in January.
No,
February. It was after, it was my birthday party that we discussed it, and then like 2 weeks
I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Happy anniversary, Geeks On.
So this is one of our anniversary episodes. So as our present, it would be great if you spread the word of Geeks On. Go to dig.com and dig us. Go to whatever site you feel like people would want to listen. Don't spam us, but if you feel like people or our community would dig our show... Or a particular episode, George R. R. Martin episode, or Battlestar Galactica episode.
Or
spread the
Scott
word, and that would be a great present. We know we don't ask for donations or anything like that. We don't have advertising all over the place, so this would be a good donation to us.
Dig us,
yes.
So why don't we move on to geek news?
Geek news.
Let's play that music, Aaron.
Play that funky music, Aaron.
Play that funky music.
You guys try to gay off the show. Jeez. All right, so...
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Aaron.
Not that there's anything wrong.
You were going to get like 80,000 gay emails angry at you.
Hey, I didn't say anything wrong with it. I just said, you know...
Do we have a gay audience that is 8 times larger than the normal geek audience?
Well, you know what?
I
found out that... The two big channels among gay men, according to demographics, are Lifetime and the Sci-Fi Channel. Oh, and Comedy Central. I forgot about that
one. I'm going to find a link there.
Bravo isn't on there?
No. It wasn't on the top.
I would like to see the paperwork.
Yeah, Aaron wants to see some numbers on that.
Well, what's gay on Bravo? I have no idea.
All the top models and all the design.
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Okay, well let's move on to our geek news.
All right, let's go.
All right. Well, since Aaron already mentioned it, let me go first. HBO has acquired the rights to the George R. R. Martin series.
Yay!
Woohoo! Song, Fire and Ice, or Ice and Fire, actually. It's the first TV project for David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. Benioff did Troy, and Weiss did Halo. So that will be interesting. It's going to shoot in Europe or New Zealand, so I better move. although there's no part for me anyway, so, well, damn you.
Yeah, well, no. You could Dothraki. Be part of the Dothraki.
I could, I'm a little small for a Dothraki, don't you?
Well, I could be a Dothraki.
You could be a Dothraki. I don't know. You could be Strong Belwas.
Oh, that would be nice.
Here you go.
Wait, he's a eunuch.
What's new?
I hate you so much.
The author will co-exec produce the series along with Management 360's Guy Cassidy and created by Vince Gerardis. It's got an adult bent, and they're going to go with an adult bent for it. And basically, they're comparing it, the creation of this to the creation of Lord of the Rings. So, cross fingers.
Yeah, cross your fingers. Don.
Well... Archie Comics is getting a small makeover. Has anyone here ever read Archie Comics, Jughead. Betty and Veronica? Well, Betty and Veronica are getting a bit of a makeover. Now they are going to start looking like Bratz dolls, pretty much.
No, that's stupid.
They're modernizing them and updating their look.
Oh, this is dumb.
Now, one thing I find very interesting was the fans are just screaming bloody murder about this.
They should be.
People are saying, you know, the creator's spinning in the grave.
All the 80-year-olds.
I don't know who reads Archie and
I could
Jughead,
see
but
animating it, you know, making it a little more anime, but that's just dumb.
After the fan outcry of saying, you know, this is really bloody stupid, now the publisher is saying, oh, no, we never intended to change all of it over. We're just doing one storyline where we modernize the look.
Yeah.
So they're claiming, oh, no, we never intended to do that. That sounds like a publisher backpedaling to me. But we'll put a link up to the website.
There's essentially no style.
It's just bland soap opera looking comic.
It looks like a soap opera.
They're trying to
make
it
look like Brenda Starr, for God's sakes.
More today. It's like they're trying to reach out towards the kids of today, you know.
But there's no today in it. There's no style. There's no like I mean, at least the Animaniacs, the new, or whatever, what was the new...
Which one? What are you talking about?
The one, the...
The bad
the toony
tune
ones
things?
That you, yeah, at least that had a style to them. You may not have liked it.
Lunatics.
God.
But at least they decided to go down a path. That's just a bland drawing of a person.
Yeah.
It's like.
So we'll put a link up on our website, geekson.com, and you can go see for yourself the new Betty and Veronica.
It's very interesting. I used to like look at that comic and roll my eyes at how shallow they were. Now they're, like, positively homey compared to, like, Paris Hilton and the new, like, shows on MTV. Yeah. My God.
So, all right, who's next?
I'm an old man.
Me?
You.
A judge denies an appeal this week that that deep linking in a website is not illegal. Okay, so what happened was...
Deep linking?
Deep linking is
first. So a Texas judge ruled...
Is a deep link kind of like a pop shot or what?
No. A Texas judge ruled last December that SupercrossLive.com, which was owned by this guy, Robert Davis, violated copyright rules by directly linking to some video... or some audio casts of motorcycle racing of another website. It's kind of how when we put links to news articles,
right.
That's deep linking.
Okay.
It means going deeper than the homepage of a site.
Okay.
He got sued by that company saying you violated copyright rules by linking to us.
What?
And the judge agreed.
Why?
So, in other words, all the people that we link to...
Uh-huh.
Could sue Geeks On for violating copyright. They said,
why?
You should only be able to go to our site and look at sponsors and look at advertising and stuff to get the content that we're putting up.
But we're promoting them.
Well, despite that.
But the difference is that he was linking directly to the audio files, meaning that... Like it's not like he was.
I got it. He didn't. He's not linking to a page.
Not linking to a
he's
page.
He's linking to information on a page.
But
so
still,
he's bypassing all of their written and advertising content.
But no, there is no difference there because what if that page was like a novel, an online novel?
Right. Well,
and you're direct linking to or a news article that.
Well, what's
someone
the
wrote?
Difference between that and? Recording a television show, editing it out all commercials and handing it free to all your friends.
Because that one, you're taking it, you're changing it, and you're putting it on your site, and that's your file. The difference is when we link to a news article, okay, do you think that we're stealing a newspaper and reselling it? Or do you think we're just telling somebody to go somewhere and read?
Yeah.
Well, let me actually bring up something to cast some light on this in a different just for conversation.
But
does everyone aware that Google just lost a huge lawsuit in Germany over this same subject?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's now illegal for Google. Well, basically, Google is still able to link to news stories in Germany, but if they're asked to remove them, they have to remove them right away, or else they'll.
Yeah.
Be fined out the wazoo.
That sounds fine to me.
Okay.
You know, that does you request not sound fine.
Actually,
If I provide something and then you start sharing with people and I
you're
ask
not sharing
you not
it.
To.
You're pointing them to the place to go get it.
Okay, and by the way, to backtrack, sorry, your analogy is wrong.
No.
Because, yes,
you think all of our links are stealing?
No, you're not letting me finish my sentence. All right? What they do is they put up a website, right, that features a sound file. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their website is supported by sponsorship. Mm-hmm. They sell that sound file. In order to listen to the sound file, they have presented a page for you to listen to it on where you have to see their ads in order to listen to their file.
Right.
That is their format.
Right.
That is their art. Mm-hmm. That is their piece that they have put together.
Right.
Now, you are saying it's okay to go in and just take out that one piece that you care about and ignore the rest of their art.
No, I'm not taking out anything. All I'm doing is saying... Go to that. Here's a link to that audio file.
Right. That audio file, not that web page that file is on.
Okay, but that's the same thing what we're doing.
That's what we do.
No, well, it's not. We go to – we link to web pages.
Wait, you're getting – you somehow are having this
– Actually, I agree with Don on this.
No, let me explain. Yeah. Let's say this news organization, let's say Time Magazine, okay?
Yes.
They put all their advertising on their front page.
Okay.
Okay? Then they pay all these artists and journalists to do articles buried in links with no advertising.
Which they don't, but...
But let's just say.
But let's just say.
Which that's their happen. Format. Mm-hmm. But let's just say.
Okay.
Then we link to that article.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the exact same thing. They say, wait a minute. In ours, you have to go to the main page and get the advertising, and then you have to go to the material.
Right.
For some reason, you just think that audio files are more important than someone's work written on a page.
No, you are misunderstanding what I'm saying they're linking to.
Okay.
Okay? I am saying that they are... If my understanding of what mm-hmm. you're saying is correct,
right.
okay, they are setting up a link mm-hmm. not to go to this person's web page.
No, it's not to go to this person's main page.
Thing. No, not...
A web page is just a file, Don.
Yeah.
It's just a file. A page doesn't mean anything to anybody. I could put advertising or I don't have to put advertising on.
Now here's the question.
The advertising in the audio file.
If he links to this audio file, mm-hmm. is there a way to get from that audio file that he linked to back to their main page?
Well, no.
No.
It's just like somebody, how about this?
Because if we link to, let's say I put a news story on bbcnews.com, there is a way to get back to the bbcnews.com main page, yeah. which I think
only because that's how they designed it.
Right.
Okay. Now, for example, on geekson.com, mm-hmm. we have a spoof, a parody of Star Wars Episode 3.
Right.
Okay. Now, that when you go directly to that page, mm-hmm. right? Then where it's played from and where it's launched from, mm-hmm. we have the Geekson banner. We've got all that stuff, mm-hmm. right? Or you can launch that page where it just brings up a QuickTime player.
Yeah, exactly.
With absolutely no information.
That's the file.
That is just the file. Mm-hmm. That is the way we've set that up.
Right.
Right? So if somebody links to that, I have no problem with that.
That's
right?
exactly what the exact same thing.
No, it's not. Because if they don't set it up in that manner, if the original website does not set it up in that way, and you just link directly to the sound content and not to the way they have presented it.
No, wait. That's how we present it. It's the exact same thing. We have a web page where you click on the button and it loads up the file.
Yes, and I'm saying I'm fine with that.
That's
but not all websites do it that way.
No, all websites do it that way.
No, hang on.
That's the only way to get that file.
No, it's not.
All right, I think we don't understand the technology here.
Hold on. I can create a link.
Yeah.
Okay. I can create a link on my website mm-hmm. that would download an audio file off of another site without ever touching any other page.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And that's what he's done.
Right.
Okay. So we understand this. What Don is saying is, okay, mm-hmm. we have an archive page for every file we have.
Yeah.
That you can link to that also has the audio file there. He's mm-hmm. saying he's fine as long as you link to the archive page.
Right. Okay. So if you directly link to the QuickTime file, mm-hmm. you think people are stealing from us?
No, because we have set it up specifically in that way.
Everybody, that's how you
no,
set up.
No, not all
Don, trust me. You have to do that. Don. That's the way it works Don. On the internet.
Yeah, no, fine. Aaron is... okay.
I am incorrect that I have just pressed play and played things off the site without leaving that web page. I am incorrect. I'm completely wrong that YouTube, you can press a button and play it directly
but
off
Don,
of YouTube.
That page, that YouTube, mm-hmm. has a little viewer that's linking to that file that lives somewhere, just like ours. That's how it works
on the internet. That's why it has the buffer.
Yeah, no, Don, you don't... You can link to the file, you can link to the page. Sometimes when you're downloading it inside the viewer that you're doing. Sometimes it's opening up a new viewer that's only specifically for that file. But basically, I want to throw out something here. I think that they have a point in saying that this is their content, mm-hmm. which they have created, and therefore, like a publisher who, or someone who owns, say, a novel, mm-hmm. they have some right into how it's distributed, okay, and how it goes to the public. Because they own this content.
Yeah, but okay? You can't make it. That's like saying you can't talk about how to get to somebody's store because someone else wants the right to show them how to get there. How are you supposed to tell people to go to a news article?
I think
I think that even people who have news articles have a right to determine whether or not...
You're crazy.
Well, how about if the Ku Klux Klan linked to Geeks On? Could we go to them and ask them, please take your link off?
We can ask them, but they can say F you.
Well, no. I mean, it's fine for them to link to a homepage. The question is, when are you taking someone's content without, you know, without... When are you taking someone's content without giving them the the revenue or you know, the options?
And I think there's a definitive difference between what Peter was explaining, where it's like I click on a link on my page and it downloads their song, their whatever. And there's a difference between that and what we do when you click on a link and it takes us to a news source, which allows you to access that news source from different angles.
Well, I think this is really dangerous.
I think it's a slippery slope.
I don't think it's a slippery slope. I think it's just it's been broken. We're at the bottom of the hill.
Well, let me fall down
the slope. We're off the slope.
Let me finish my point here, which is...
say your trade bank line, Aaron.
I don't have a problem if we're... I don't have a problem if something is linking to, like, a news story, okay? You know, you've got a link, and it gives you a small, like, couple catchphrases out of it, you know, that gives you a sense of what it is, but it's not the full news story, and you can link to it, okay? I think that's fine because it's not stealing, it's summarizing so that you can go there and get more information. No one's really using your Google search to write a paper or as your full news.
Yeah, it's a trailer. There's a link there. It's attributed to somebody.
Right. And I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's problematic for a company to say you can't do that. But I do think that, say, for example, I've got an audio file that I've created. I've got Geeks On. Mm-hmm. And someone can link to that audio file and just take it without going to the page, I think it's okay for me to say to someone, listen, you know, that's not the way we distribute that, and you need to respect the way we distribute it and go to our splash page that we have set up for it.
I think that's I don't think that's good at all. I think every time you guys send me a video to a link that says, hey, you should go check out this video, you mm-hmm. think that every time you do that, that could be stealing.
Well, let me also
it doesn't make any sense.
If I publish a book, can you just take all of the content of the book and give it away?
No, Don, this is different. This is saying go to this page and go look at it, or go to this file that somebody else has decided to present to the world and look at it.
No. Just because something's on the internet doesn't mean you've decided to present it to the world.
Yeah, it is.
No. You can say it effectively is, but it's not, because there are different things that we have. The way you set up your internet site determines how accessible it is to the world.
Well, if you're breaking and entering, that's one thing.
Okay.
I don't believe in stealing somebody's.
You can have a password on something, but also you can argue that, look, I've created an architecture to my website, which is the equivalent of.
I think you're crazy. You're out of your mind.
Well, you know.
Anyway, so everybody is upset because it would set a precedent that you must get permission from copyright owners to link to anything but the main page of any website.
Well, I think that's a problem, but
I don't agree to going to the top page.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Let's move on.
Hold on. You're not getting what we're saying.
You can't just miss us and say,
no, we're moving on.
All right.
That's not cool.
All right, let's go. Tell me.
What I'm saying is if you're going to link to my information, mm-hmm. you need to present the information in the context that I presented it.
Okay.
That's it.
So I need to somehow there needs to be a law that covers every way that somebody's going to present it. So if one person says, I'm okay with linking directly to my audio site like us, that's fine. If somebody says, no, you have to go through four steps to do it, there has to be a law for that. There has to be all these crazy laws.
Let me tell you what I think it should be rather than you just guessing what it should be.
All right, so what should it be?
It should be that if I decide that I don't like the way you've linked to my site mm-hmm. and I ask you to remove that link, you have to remove it.
Seconded. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And that's all it is. Or I can say, actually, I don't like how you've linked to my site, and mm-hmm. I have a better way I would prefer you to link, then you have to do that.
And if you linked to my site and you don't provide enough hits for me to notice mm-hmm. that you've done it, what do I care? Okay. That kind of linking is not going to be an issue. Okay. It's going to be major invasion issues of, you know, just tons of traffic coming from an unknown source, bypassing the way I presented my
information. So you're okay with pretty much every Google search... Google having to expand, hiring millions and millions of employees to take care of all the letters that people are getting for every one of their links when you do a search for,
Aaron.
Do you really think that many people are going to fight
Aaron
having links put to their site?
Well, this guy sure did.
Oh my God, one person did. Oh my God.
Aaron.
Yeah, but most people. It only takes one to set up precedent.
Yeah, but
most people are not going to fight traffic.
How is Google supposed to work
to their website?
That way.
Time out for a second.
Okay.
First of all, most people want advertisement and want people to link to their sites.
Okay.
Okay. Second of all,
aggressively, there are businesses
right,
set up
but
to try
they, but
get
they,
links
but
on
here,
sites.
But that's not
no,
the
no,
point.
No, I'm in the middle of talking.
Okay. Okay.
Don't cut me off.
Okay. Okay. Because I've been trying to speak and you keep cutting me off. So, second of all, Google, you know, isn't a charity.
Mm-hmm.
They make money off of what they do. So mm-hmm. maybe it's going to cost them a little more money to do this. Well, you know what? They'll pay it. They make a lot of fucking money.
Well, okay.
Google makes a lot of money. They can afford to hire
right,
a couple
of people. To respond to what you said, this isn't about the Google argument. This is about this man's case, right?
Well, no, but we're not talking – I didn't say that his case and what they're saying here is right. I gave a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't say that everybody's got a link to a homepage.
Right. Well, yeah, but that's what Aaron is saying is bad. Aaron's not saying the Google thing. He's not arguing the Google thing. He's arguing about the –
I didn't say that – I agreed with him that linking, having to link only to a homepage would be a bad thing.
I set up a
different scenario.
He's just saying that if anybody decides that they don't want it, they can write a letter and then it becomes illegal at that point.
That's fine. But I mean, if what you're saying
I
is
don't
that.
Get that
yeah,
and,
well.
And he's not saying the instant the letter is written, it becomes illegal. It's saying that you now have a venue to take action as opposed to right now where you have no venue.
Mm hmm.
The way laws are set up right now, you cannot protect your information that way.
But where's the slope where it basically says, all right, now we're forcing you to go through our advertisement. In order to watch our television show, you can't just watch it. Isn't that the point of the internet? Right? You have to go through us and watch our advertisements every time.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
If I was selling any kind of information and depending on information to generate revenue, you can bet your sweet boopy I would do everything.
If somebody said your TiVo, you cannot have my show on your TiVo.
Huh?
You cannot go through the commercials. It's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it's feasible for you to do it, we'll sue you every time you take the commercials out of our TV show. Come on. It's the same thing.
And they've tried to do that.
I think the scenario would be the same. The scenario would be if you if I distributed something on TiVo, I distributed something with commercials in it, and you took my thing that I've distributed with commercials, cut out the commercials, and reposted it onto the internet without the commercials for everyone else to see, that would be the same scenario.
No, we're not talking about that. We're not. These people are not changing anything. They're just linking. They're showing. They're directing you to somebody else's site.
Right.
Again, but we're talking about presentation. Okay.
It's up to the person to put an ad in front of the video.
We're talking about presentation.
Okay.
Okay. And in the way they present the file,
mm-hmm.
it's meant to be seen from a page with ads on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's presentation.
Right.
Okay. Now what they're doing is they're linking to a portion of that page.
Right.
Which is, you know, because listen, when you go to my website page,
mm-hmm.
okay, I have lots of files that upload onto that page.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if they...
Wait.
No way. I'm responding to what your point is. I have not finished my point.
So let me finish my point before you then respond. You have lots of files. You have image files.
Tell me how to argue.
You have text files.
Yeah, I understand all
you
that.
You have audio files.
I understand all
so
that.
So now if you link only to one of those files, like an audio file, you have then edited out the text and the images. Now you can respond.
I don't consider that editing.
Thank you for my 30 seconds. So if this person has placed this information on their website, but they haven't put a link back to their homepage because they've made that mistake, right? Because they have the audio file in an individual place, and there's no way to go back to BBC News. There's no way to go back to geekson.com. That's my fault. That's my fault, and therefore I'm wrong, and I'm stealing from
it. You're misunderstanding what Peter's saying.
But let's say Peter's
Peter's statement.
No, you're saying
that there's advertisement, and they've presented it in a format, right? Now that format by which they're getting that information, right?
Uh-huh.
Has said you have to go through page one, then two, then three, then four, right?
No.
And what they're saying, no, because it's a deep link. Now let me finish my point, right? No, let me finish my point.
I'm trying to understand.
By the time they get to page four,
uh-huh.
right, that guy is going directly to page four and bypassing one through three.
Exactly.
Correct?
No, wait,
I'm not done.
You asked me correct. The answer is incorrect. You're misunderstanding me.
How is he not bypassing one through three?
I'm being swayed here.
How is he not bypassing one through three?
What, right? No, I'm not done.
You're asking me a question. You are done if you're asking me a question.
All right, keep going.
He's bypassing.
He meant it rhetorically.
Exactly. He's bypassing 1 through 3 to get to 4. Right? And these people are saying you have to go through 1 through 3 to get to 4. Otherwise, it's not valid.
Okay. That's right? Not what I'm saying.
Now, these people, they have not provided a link back from 4, 3, 2, 1. Right? So how am I at fault for not going for their malfunction of a website?
Yeah. Okay. Let me stop for a second. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. What I'm saying is this.
But a very interesting point.
Very interesting point.
I got to give him that. That's a very interesting point.
But you're completely, entirely, totally misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about the Geeks On website.
Right.
Okay. When you go onto the Geeks On website, everything works in a hierarchy, which mm-hmm. you talk about 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay. So the hierarchy in our Geeks On website goes to splash page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's say you want to go to our episodes. Okay. So on the home page, if you want to go to an episode, you go to the splash page, then you click on a link, and it'll load the audio file.
Correct.
You can listen to it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's our presentation.
That's three things
deep. That's 3 steps.
That's 2 steps deep.
No, because the audio file is the last step.
No. The first step is splash page.
Mm-hmm.
Second step is audio file. 2 steps.
No, there's home page, splash page, audio file.
Okay. We have home page and an audio file. That's our
okay.
levels.
Directly.
Now, if you want to go deeper than that, mm-hmm. we have, okay, homepage, first level, archives,
right.
list of episodes, second level. Third level is the specific archive splash page.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the audio file, which is your 4th level.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying is that our presentation is, mm-hmm. okay, set up in web pages. We don't distribute things as audio files individually that way. Okay. Let's say we do. Distribute them then. But not everyone chooses to do that.
Right.
Okay? So what I'm saying is people should link to level 3, which is the splash page, the third splash page, the archive splash
right.
page, which has the audio file within it. Okay?
Okay.
That's what they should link to because that's how people are choosing, that's how this person is choosing to distribute their audio
file. Well, that's what you've guessed. I may say, okay. You know what? No, you have to link to my homepage. That's my decision.
Right. Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is that
I mean, why are you making that? You're assuming that okay. that is
the way I would say that it should be distributed is that way. You can link to that level,
but would be wrong if I decided if that was my webpage. I could sue you
if you're listening to the audio file. Well, let me go back to that point in a second. If you want to listen to that audio file, you have to click to the page that you know, to that third level before you get to the audio file, because otherwise you're taking the file. Out of context,
no,
how
but,
it was distributed.
But Peter, you're taking that link, that one page that you've decided that you feel is okay to link to out of context. That's I want you to go to my homepage only.
Now, let me also say.
So I'm going to sue you.
Well, let me also say, the last thing I want to say is, I don't think someone should be able to sue someone unless they ask someone to remove content and it's not removed. Okay? I think that the way the internet should work is the way they talked about it with the Google yeah. Germany case, which is they don't automatically say, you know, you can't do it. They say, you know.
And the right. one thing that I – just as a side note, the one thing that worries me about this more than anything else mm-hmm. is if you are forced to link to a homepage
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the specific page
yeah.
– and I still think you have to link to the page, not a specific portion of the page – then it makes citation of fact and citation of article an impossibility because you can't go to that article
mm-hmm.
directly.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's ever gone to, like, you know, the Time Magazine website and tried to find a specific article,
oh my God.
That can be really hard to do.
And imagine one page.
Wikipedia would be gone.
But imagine our page if we had all of our archives on one page with every link is an audio file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, imagine mm-hmm. that.
It would be very awkward.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have to respect that people who are creating content have some rights to that content and how it's distributed.
Okay. All right. So
it's the balance of protection for the consumer and protection of the artist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Protection of the internet
yes.
as well.
We do need to okay. move on.
Can we move on? And can we skip news articles?
And let's all breathe.
Good.
And, that was our first topic.
And if anybody listening to this wants to get in on it, we're going to put a post on our forums because this is a hot topic. We're all fired up.
Let's just blaze through the other news articles in one-word sentences.
All right.
In brief sentences. What is your other article, Peter?
Well, I'll try to. But man's working at IBM. He works in a factory. He takes a break, and he goes to surf the internet. Lots of people surf the internet over the when they take their little 10-minute breaks. Mm-hmm. Okay, he chooses to go onto an adult chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and because of this, he's fired.
Right.
Okay. Understandable.
Right.
You know, he's surfing an adult chat room.
Keep going.
No, go ahead.
Okay. But so he decides to sue IBM for $5 million, though.
Being fired.
He says that he was discriminated against, that he has a disability, which is internet addiction.
Right.
Okay. So there's a couple sides to this. IBM says
– we're not going to go into the sides for lack of time, but there's a wonderful article that we will put a link to that has all those sides on there for you if you're interested.
Okay. That's crazy.
Matt.
Astronaut love triangle. Oh, the pepper spray.
Is this a diaper story?
Poor astronauts.
Go read any article anywhere. It'll mention this.
Astronaut images of crash to Earth because...
Lovers, diapers.
Pepper spray.
Say something that people can
don't forget the garden hose.
Understand with.
Well, okay, Lisa Nowak, you know, ended up pepper spraying her love rival in the new NASA thing.
She was the
astronaut who was supposed to go up
doing
in the
what,
Atlantis.
What?
Nowak, you know, is interested in another astronaut, finds out that he's interested in someone else. She hops in a car, puts on a diaper, drives like 800 miles or something like that.
From Texas to Florida.
Puts on the diaper so she can piss her pants and shit and not have to stop. Finds this person at an airport, tries to kill her, we're not sure, pepper sprays the lady, and is now in jail.
Yeah.
There you go. News article link on our website. Astronauts in love, garden hose in the back seat. Don't ask me why. All right. The Lord of the Rings MMORPG is launching. Their beta is in progress right now. If you pre-order and become a founder today, they have all sorts of special offers. A $10 a month membership or a $200 lifetime membership. As long as you live. So there you go. We'll put a link up to that if you're interested in trying out the LOTR MMORPG before all of your friends.
LOTR MMORPG. That's awesome.
Another video game news. Star Wars The Force Unleashed is the new Star Wars video game. You become Darth Vader's apprentice, and it takes place in between episodes 3 and 4. You have to go seek out the refugee Jedi that are left that weren't killed by Order 67.
60 sucks.
60 whatever. And that's, anyway, looks interesting.
I just don't trust Star Wars video games anymore. I don't trust
Star Wars anymore.
That's so sad. Actually.
Yeah, seems interesting.
I feel uncomfortable enough playing the dark side on Knights of the Old Republic.
Me too, absolutely.
I just squirm. Mm. I don't know if I want an entire video game based around torturing babies.
Damn, that poor woman.
All right,
and
let's move on.
Abandoned on that planet.
Okay, so there's a researcher who is studying Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Okay. And when you're studying these type of things, you can't really use human cells a lot of times because the human cells die too easily. So oftentimes they use cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's studying thing called a PPAR gamma modulator.
Mm-hmm.
And her cancer cells keep dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, God damn it, my cancer cells keep dying. You know, she's really pissed off. And her partner goes, wait, I'm sorry, did you just say that
your cancer
you
cells
killed cancer? And there's this long pause as she realizes she's discovered a new cure for certain types of cancers, accidentally.
Well, her partner does.
That's received a lot of publicity. They've also printed a partial retraction on that story, only in the fact that it's still at an incredibly early stage.
Yes.
No research has been done on it yet. It's just been – it's a tip of the iceberg thing, but – right now looks very promising.
What is the technology called again?
PPAR gamma modulator. It's something.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's totally.
If I remember the article I read about that.
Yeah.
One of the downsides of it is the pharmaceutical industry sees no profit in it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's an accessible technology that is not expensive to
produce.
Because
everyone has a PPAR.
And there's no drug therapy for it. Right?
I'm going to destroy you with my PPAR explosion gamma modulator.
Oh, it is a drug?
It's a compound, so it is a drug,
I'm incorrect. Never mind.
But the problem is that it's already been
it's out on the market.
Copyrighted or something, and so, you know, it's not expensive.
It's like baby aspirin suddenly curing something.
So the pharmaceutical companies aren't showing interest in it.
Well, the people who found it aren't showing interest in it.
We'll put a direct link to the formula on our website.
Oh, that was genius.
All right, can we move on, please?
You have to put laxative in my food now.
Interrupt me now, will ya? So we went from one topic to kind of two topics today, but what is our main topic?
Our main topic, ostensibly, is fate versus free will in sci-fi. There are a lot of shows right now that are sort of beating these two ideas to death with
fantasy
Lost.
And sci-fi.
Yeah, fantasy as well, yeah. But Lost and BSG and, you know, a bunch of the other ones,
I wanted to do another topic today, but I don't think that was my destiny.
Now, I got to tell everyone, I actually have a lot of problems with the concept of destiny or prophecy. Actually, specifically prophecy is my problem.
Really?
But what about fate?
Well, fate is basically, you know, not always, but nine times out of ten, there's an element of prophecy when they do that.
It's,
you know?
It's interesting that we as a race of people have put so much emphasis from as far as we mm-hmm. can remember, this has been a super important topic in our lives. In fact, I was talking to my wife about it, and like, you know, why are we talking about this all the time? And what is it that makes us feel like that we are on rails?
Well, now,
our life's on rails.
I'm very interested to hear your opinions on this, because I'll be upfront with my opinion on it. I don't care. Honestly, right. This is something I don't think about, because if there is such a thing as destiny or predestination, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, and it ain't going to happen unless I work for it. If I work for it, then my destiny is whatever I worked for. If I fail to work for it, then whatever I do achieve by failing to work is my destiny. It's a catch-22. It doesn't matter to me. It has no effect on my life.
First of all, let me say, have you guys ever heard there's this hierarchy of needs in people's lives?
Yes. Okay, breathing, eating.
Eating, you know, sex. Mm-hmm. But the highest one that people aim for once they've got everything sort of set up is control of your own life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I think that it comes down to that issue. There's a need that people have to feel like they can make a difference in their own life.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting. Like, when I was talking to my wife this morning, I was like, you know, are there people out there who just, why is this topic coming up? Because I don't feel like that my life is planned out for me. Mm-hmm. But I think Maureen says, you know, she brought up, says, well, I think that there are a lot of people, you know, I've been lucky in my life, mm-hmm. but when you're kid gets hit by a car, or if a flood hits your house, or if a plague kills your country, you develop these feelings that, you know what, it doesn't matter what I do,
right,
that was going to happen no matter what. My life was set from the beginning of the universe. That plague was going to hit me. And I think that's where the feeling comes from.
So right. you feel that destiny is a way of making you feel better about things happening in your life you couldn't control.
No. I think it's a explanation or a feeling that you get when you feel like if you're driving along and you're an expert driver and you're making all the correct decisions and some a-hole comes over and just smashes the hell out of you and kills your wife, you can say to yourself, was there any way I could change that? Or mm-hmm. was fate? There was nothing in my life that could have changed that. So that's where that feeling comes from. Whether it's true or not, that's the discussion. So,
I think it's also...
Good. Well, the interesting thing for me is maybe it's because I've always had a sense of a calling. Like, mm-hmm. I've always felt like my profession and what I do, I've always wanted to do this. This is always what I've been drawn to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beyond me. The feeling that I have when I do what I love is something that is drawn out of me. So I really
feel right.
It feels right. Mm-hmm. And it's much more than it's not a decision on my part. It's a necessity. Mm-hmm. So I feel that I would not be able to exist unless I do what I do. So I've always felt when my life goes right, when I'm heading towards the things that feel better for me, that I'm on the right path. I have a very American Indian mentality about it. You know, mm-hmm. when my life was going wrong at one point in my life, my aunt, who's a shaman on an Indian reservation, said, "What are you refusing?" And she said, in American Indian mythology, you're offered something by your life five times. And on the fifth time that you refuse that thing, your life gets sick. Mm-hmm. And I always, and for me, I mean, whether or not it's my own superstition or my own creation of events, because, you know, because I believe in this, it's tended to happen.
Hmm. Well, let me actually ask a question. Hmm. Has anyone in here ever had a moment where you sensed something that was going to happen before it happened?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, well, constantly.
Okay. Which also is, I think, where some of this comes from, because I think we've all had these moments like, you know, I'm driving along one night and the light turned green in front of me and I didn't go. And Tracy goes, why didn't you go? I go, because I have this weird feeling that, you know, a car's going to run out of light in a second. Mm-hmm. And a car did. You know, like, I mean, it wouldn't have hit me either way, but I was still like, I had this weird feeling. And how often do you see a car run a red light?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, not often. So it was such a bizarre coincidence. So then you have to wonder if these things, if you can sense these things before they happen, does that mean that they were preordained, that they couldn't be altered?
And before we move into the science fiction and stuff also and talk about, discuss how these are used, I think it's also could be used to make things more important in one's life. A lot of people fall in love with somebody and then say, you know what? I think we've always been destined. We're life partners. We're soul mates. These things are out there because people have this feeling that no matter what, we would have found each other. We are destined to be together. There's no way no one else could have fit into our lives because we would have found each other. And I think it's a way to also heighten the feeling that we have towards some things and some people.
Sometimes
use a device.
Sometimes a little over dramatic, you know.
No, it may be, but I think maybe there are some people who truly believe it's like, no, no matter what, I would have found that person because we're soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also a need for most. I think it's a kind of a human need. It's not a specific individual thing. Where people like to, it sounds like I'm being very cruel, like to aggrandize things about themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aggrandize, you know, oh, it was my destiny. God wanted me to be with this woman. So God put my feet on the path that brought me to her. And that makes our relationship unique and above all others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, I don't think that means destiny. I think that in my cynical point of view, I guess, you're just trying to aggrandize something that's nice for your in your life. You know?
Well, right now we're just talking about the genesis of why we constantly are adding this into our stories.
Well, also,
I think it's aggrandizement.
Yeah.
Let me also add the thing from the Greeks, the Stoics, the Stoics who actually, when you were a Stoic, a philosopher, Stoic literally translates to mean resigned to fate.
Mm-hmm.
You're going down the fate path.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three different types of fate that they described. I'm going to butcher these words, but one was haimarmene, angake, and pronoia. Haimarmene is immutable fate. It's basically like if you're a seed, you're going to turn into a tomato, right? Or, you know, a tree.
Okay. What,
you
know,
that
yeah, we
that
got
sea
it.
Will become
it's
something.
Poor pumpkin
Don
seed.
Gave me the best look in the entire world. Okay, the other two modes of fate are almost opposites of each other. Pronoia is often described as providence and foresight, what Peter was describing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an anke is the ignorance that leads us to choose one path over another.
Mm.
It's basically, I don't know what's down this, so I'm going to go this way.
Right.
You know, the Hamlet, you know, the Hamlet. And I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, you know, because, I mean, for me, I feel like I have free will in the moment. I feel like a priori, you know, I'm like, absolutely, I know everything that's going to go on. I have free will. A posteriori, when I'm looking back, I'm kind of like, man, I was just absolutely on rails that entire time. I could not have done anything else.
And it's it. And
I have never felt on rails.
Really?
Looking back at my life, I've never felt like I've been on rails.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I may have done what I deemed was necessary at the moment, and I don't see that as being on rails.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Do you see other people trapped in certain behaviors and certain, you know, actions, reactions? You know, they have trouble breaking free of them.
Yeah, but I don't see that as being a destiny thing.
Well, I mean,
that's just repeating life patterns and not learning your lesson.
Hang on. Can you talk?
You know?
That's a good point.
I just think, you know, being someone who was adopted,
yeah.
You know, the series of events that led to your adoption are so random and interesting. And, I mean, I would think that that would lead to a certain sort of necessity of thinking about fate, because your existence is completely based on a series of actions which
all of ours are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that's unique. I think everyone's circumstances that brought them about are unique. Look at your family.
Well, yeah,
history.
No, absolutely. My mom coming from India is amazing.
And beyond that, your grandparents.
Right.
You know, the mm-hmm. circumstances that gave birth to every man, woman, and child on this planet are fascinating and unique. I really don't think there's an exception.
Okay, but you don't feel like that's fake.
Can we kind of move this then?
If everything's unique, then how can anything be, you know?
Can I throw something out really fast?
Sure.
You know, because I think one of the reasons that this comes up is the question. It ultimately comes down to that question of free will, which is the question of, can I do something that will actually make a difference, mm-hmm. or is everything predetermined? And no matter what I do, I'm stuck and trapped in this life.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. And I think that I once had just this bizarre kind of flash of something that made sense to me. It's very hard to describe, but it sort of explained to me this concept of being trapped. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are people who are trapped in their lives. There are people who are stuck in the same, you know, like you said, they have not learned their lesson. They're in the same repetitious cycle. And, I mean, basically what I saw was kind of, you know, sort of this visual description of the universe. And in it, every person in the universe was a speck of dust.
Were you smoking pot when you thought
of this? I was absolutely not. I was walking along.
There were magic cookies involved.
Every person was a speck of glowing dust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was happening was some of these specks were very powerful. And they had, like, they were very bright and they were very shiny. And so everything that was, when they were moving and they moved of their own volition, they were influenced by the magnet. They had, like, a gravity that pulled things around them. So they literally created currents that they would move.
Bodhisattvas.
But yeah, that's a very
bodhisattvas,
absolutely,
you know, more enlightened beings.
For those of you who don't know, a bodhisattva is a enlightened soul that, according to some faiths, would be ready to move on to the next level of existence beyond this world, but chooses to come back in human form in order to lead by example.
Yeah, herd the rest of us lost souls.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is what I wanted.
If I can just, okay. I'm getting close to being done.
Sure. I love the new Peter. This is awesome.
So his damn foot down.
But what was interesting was, you know, each of these had a different magnetism, a different level of gravity to them. So these swirls, you know, some things were very powerful, and, you know, even things that were powerful enough to have their own currents would still be affected and moved and shifted. But every once in a while, one of these tiny little specks would change and suddenly go from being a little speck to one of the bigger specks. It would just suddenly, and everything would change and alter because it would suddenly get a gravity of its own.
Hmm.
And to me, this is a description of the world that we're in a certain way. I think that the answers are both. I think that we are stuck in an issue of free will. You know, where you know, there are times when we struggle and struggle and struggle to get past it, and we're, why the fuck can't I get past it? Why am I stuck? Why can't I find a way to achieve what I am trying to get? And occasionally, you know, there are some people who will spend their whole lives unable to do that because there's something that's got that's stuck for them.
Hmm.
They are stuck people.
But that's not destiny. That's them in their own free will cycle.
Well,
that's one way to view it. Yeah,
that's one way to view it. But another way to view it is that there is a destiny that is pulling them along, and they have to find some way to overcome that destiny in order to have free will.
Overcome.
In other words,
destiny.
In other words, there is a destiny.
Is that an opposite of?
Well, people say that free will is an oxymoron, you know, so, you know.
Well, okay, so these feelings that we've been having, I think that what's interesting is that we shuttle them into religious things, like you were saying we've got
omnipotent divinity controlling my destiny.
And scientific things, because one thing I know that we've quantum and classical physics.
If you don't understand something, slap the word quantum on it.
Well, but this was a this
quantum
was a big,
doesn't understand quantum.
Yeah, but this was a big thing. For, you know, determinism. With you know, originally people thought that the entire universe, scientifically, if it was all action and reaction, that the entire universe was planned out during the Big Bang because the only way an action to happen was reaction.
Yep.
And so, like a giant billiard ball or marble game, our brains and the chemicals, everything was predetermined by the Big Bang. Quantum
says
physics allows things to change.
Each decision shifts you into a multiple,
or
a different reality.
There isn't, things can happen without a reaction. But also that, I think it's interesting that we're doing a lot of studies on genetics. And we're trying to find out if you're predetermined to do things.
And we know that we are predetermined for certain things. The ability now to cut out in genetics the predetermination that you will die of this disease.
The thing is, that's not entirely true. You can't cut out that entirety. You cut out the predisposition.
Right.
Right, but I think it's interesting that we're
is
in
only
science
changing
searching
odds.
For that.
You know,
whereas in science we're searching for that, and in religion we're searching for that.
Very interesting.
It's something that we're digging into on both fields here. If they are separate, some people
in
are
some ways, humana. In some ways, time travel movies are entirely about predetermination, yeah. And
especially when
actually, good point. That's
all right.
A very
so should we move
point.
Into now yeah. the topic?
Well, that's kind of the part. That's sort of the chewy part of it is because and maybe I'm asking a rhetorical question, but because sci-fi asks such big questions, because it puts you in the extreme circumstance to ask the big question, mm-hmm. is that why they constantly go back to fate and free will? You know, and especially now,
time travel books, movies, all these are like, these are classic conundrums when it comes to free will and fate. I mean, mm-hmm. we have it, they're always trying to get around it to make it interesting. Back to the Future, he could change the future.
As opposed to the time machine, where no matter how many times he goes back in the past, the woman dies at the stroke of midnight every time.
Yep. Exactly.
A thousand different ways, but it always happens.
Right. And even Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it's interesting that they pretty much tell you that there is no... things are set in, that movie is so perfectly timed out that things don't change.
Yeah.
Like, they hide keys for themselves from the past.
That's one of the best time travel movies because they really do address fate versus free will in that movie.
Yeah, but they don't talk about
it
directly.
They don't talk about it directly. They talk about, when they come to the idea of, wait a second, we can leave the keys for ourselves, and all we have to do is go into the future and then leave them for us. They sort of understand
their predestiny. I don't understand how that's a predestiny versus free will thing.
In other words, they have to... in order for those keys to be there, they're locked in.
Right.
In the future, they have to do that.
Right.
There is no plan.
They have decided to do it, so...
right.
Yeah.
No, but, they
hold,
only
wait, wait, wait,
because...
wait. Let me explain to Peter real quick. I was in the same boat you are. At the point they decide to get the key, right, that is still not predestination. It is a point they find the key. That means they have been successful in planting the key. So at that point, in 2 hours, they have a destiny to plant that key.
Now, that makes sense. That makes sense.
That's where I was going.
But at the same time,
this is going to be one of those episodes that gives me an aneurysm, isn't it?
But at the same time, with Bill and Ted's, there's a question of whether or not they will succeed at passing their history exam in order to become these...
But
saviors.
That's because they're not smart enough to figure it out that they were – because remember, here's the weird thing about that movie is a man from the future who knows that they will pass is sent back in time to make sure that they pass.
Except
that's the most bizarre part of it.
Except unless you look at it from more of a quantum place, whereas if time is constantly shifting a little bit, maybe at some point they've seen that they've passed and some point they've seen they haven't and now they have to correct it. Then it gets confusing.
Well, that's another thing. Star Trek always has this crazy thing about correcting the timeline.
I cringe every time they do that.
And I think they did actually have an episode where somebody said, wait a minute. How do we know this is the correct
timeline?
We keep correcting it. And yet, why didn't we just let it go? Let it flow. In fact, even in Star Trek 4, the movie, where they go back in time and save the whales, and Scotty gives...
he gives the technology for the windows.
And one of them says, you can't do that. You're going to blow up the future. And he goes, well, how do you know?
How do we know that he didn't invent it?
Yeah. How do you know that this isn't the way things happen? Star Trek tries to make it easy for us and I think it's easier for the writers to do that because it gives us a goal. But
I just read a fantastic old science fiction novel, and it was only fantastic. It wasn't really that well written, but some of the ideas in it were really neat. And basically, what it was working off of was the idea that the very first time travelers who went back in time. And basically what it was working off of was that the very first time travelers who went back in time screwed things up, right? Mm-hmm. So there started to be problems that happened because they had messed with time. So the second group comes in, and they decide to go back and try and fix things. Of course, by going back and trying to fix things, they've created even more problems. Mm-hmm. So then a third group comes in and tries to fix the problems that the second and third groups have done. Well, what made this a brilliant novel was that it started to explain some of the different theories that people had.
Mm-hmm.
One of the theories that someone had was that, you know, what you need to do is you need to go in and you need to start killing off the trunk or the branch storyline so that time will kind of weave back together,
mm-hmm.
and will be more stable. Then another group had the idea that, you know, they had to go in and they had to create a period in time that was stable so that they could survive while all the other areas are being destroyed.
Like a bubble,
right. And yet, yeah, I mean, it just went through all these different levels until finally got to the last person, the last group that realized that the only way to do it was to destroy time travel entirely, destroying themselves, creating the only truly stable time.
Right.
You know, because any interference at all.
There's a Meg Ryan movie with Hugh Jackman, I think.
Yeah, side, or where they go into the subway.
Yeah, well, no, they have different time zones.
It was very funny. He was the guy who invented elevators.
Yes.
And so when she brought him into the future, all elevators suddenly stopped working.
Yeah.
Now, it was not realistic, but it was funny.
What was really interesting that I found out, I saw that on DVD, and there was an extra about the DVD, and yeah. It basically said that script originally was much more raw, but in test audiences, supposedly the guy before Hugh Jackman who went back in time, he ended up
sleeping with himself.
Sleeping with his grandmother or something like that. And it was the real almost Oedipal sense of fate as well.
Where grossed
it was
everybody
like,
out.
Completely grossed out audiences. So they had to cut out that plot line because he's initially attracted to this woman and then, you know, then he finds there's something weird about it.
He sleeps with her and then he finds out, oh my God, this is my grandmother.
Right. Right, exactly. Then he finds out that this is his grandmother and people were like, ugh.
Well, besides time travel, this is another thing that I find interesting. It pops up all the time is the chosen one character.
Okay. You're the one.
Now, this is
Neo.
The one.
Yeah, Matrix.
This is the one I was saying I have a huge issue with.
Right.
Okay. Now, this I see. Do you want to finish your thought?
No, I'm just saying that this comes up all the time. Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, yeah. Neo. Everyone knows they're what they're going to do at the end of the frickin' movie. You know what I mean?
Well, it's specific, actually. Here's the thing about it, though, because this is to me the most misused tool.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And I people talk about flashbacks being they say flashbacks. Okay, flashbacks are most often when you see flashbacks, they're awful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're done very poorly, and it's a clumsy tool to make something happen in a film.
Right.
And yet, some of the best films of all time have flashbacks, and they use them brilliantly.
Right.
Same thing with prophecy like this, where someone's the one. Because you have to be very careful in how you use it. And people who use it very poorly say, okay, this person's the one, they're prophesied to do this, and suddenly there's, like, no stakes. Because it's like, of course they're going to fucking do it. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, but usually in the movies, it's, am I really the one?
Well, that's where it works.
I think everyone's mistaken. It can't be me.
Yeah.
It's somebody else. And then at the end, of course, I am the one. Well, same
There's one exception time. To that, which, quick side note, Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
mm-hmm.
where I love that. You are the destined one. You are the chosen one. But if you die, there's going to be another one.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Well, that's the thing. They have to find a way to put the stakes in it. So one version of that is what you just said.
If you die, you get replaced.
You get replaced.
But how are you the one if there's 1,000 others?
Because there's always one.
Oh, right. There's always one. Yeah. Now, there's another version, which is, I think Matrix did it brilliantly because they said, there is a chosen one. You might be the one. This guy thinks you're the one, but he's crazy.
Right.
And then we're going to test and see if you're the one. And you fail every single test.
Mm-hmm.
In every single test they do to him, he is no better than anybody else.
Right.
It's like...
Or worse.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which was great. No, he
actually, when he tests, he's like, his movements are off the charts.
No. But the thing is, like they
but
say...
But he fails the first jump.
He fails the first jump.
Yeah. The prophet even tells him he's not the one.
Right.
Who knows everything.
She says, what do you think? I think she asked him a question.
Yeah, yeah, but then she goes, no, you're not the one.
Right. Which he wasn't.
You're just...
At that point. He became the one.
Right? Oh.
That was what was the thing. She goes, you are not the one.
What type of prophet actually, doesn't know the
No.
She knew that. She just...
No, the twist was, the oracle doesn't tell you what you want to know. The oracle tells you what you need to know.
Right.
And he needed to know he wasn't the one at that point.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah. But, I mean, Matrix did it brilliantly because they kept playing up the fact that he's not the one. He kept going, but he's got to be the one. But look at him. God, he can't do this. He can't do that. She says this. And they did it great.
But these stories are all about the fact that your hero has no choice, really. I mean, Darth Vader... His destiny is planned. I mean, everyone sees it. It's written in the Jedi bylaws or whatever that there's going to be a dude who
brings balance
to the Force. And then not only that, but someone says, oh, we tested the bugs in his body and it proves, it definitely says.
Oh, Aaron, stop. You're hurting me.
But I'm just saying that it's interesting.
Damn you, midichlorians.
And the Force constantly does that. He sees Luke sees his friends in danger. He leaves. And Yoda says, I see... they're constantly seeing
the future.
No, there
is another.
Well, that's the thing. But they do...
Oh, valid.
No, there is another.
But what's interesting is their version of seeing the future, though, doesn't... It's not quite locked in. Mm-hmm. You know, like they say, no, there is another. There's another chance. But it's not quite locked in.
Well, then that bring up the idea of free will? Is that, fate will offer you... Again, back to me and my, American Indian idea. You know, fate will offer you this thing unless you screw it up, in which case you got to wait for the wheel to come around again.
Now, here's the interesting... Maureen brought up this because we were talking about Lord of the Rings. Here's the thing about Lord of the Rings, and I think this is the greatest thing about Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings have these people who are constantly making... You know, Galadriel can see into the future, but she never says anything is set. Mm-hmm. She always is saying, this is your possibilities. These are your possibilities. And the whole book, even though there's the one guy, it feels like he's the chosen one, but it's not. The whole book is about free will and choice. In fact, I think the free men are the name of the humans in there. It's about... You taking responsibility of corruption. Are you going to take the ring? Are you going to be tempted by it? I think it's interesting that book simulates some of these same things, like the Force and these prophets and all these, but none of them ever say Frodo is the one who's going to save us.
Which is very interesting because J.R.R. Tolkien was a deep, deep Christian, and he actually converted C.S. Lewis. To Christianity.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But he was also, he knew that war was created by decisions of man.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't, we aren't just going into war because that we're predetermined. That we need to take responsibility of our environment and war and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's what those books were about. That's taking responsibility about corruption.
See, when I go back and think about some of my favorite childhood books, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Narnia books, the David Ennings Belgariad books.
I love the Belgariad.
Wheel of Time books, okay?
Wheel of Time, very bodhisattva.
Okay. Well, no, that's a predestiny case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are the chosen one. You are the one person who's going to do something.
Right, but they're also...
David Eddings, you are the one person who's going to do... who can do this.
Right, but in Robert Jordan, they're also Tavarin. Mm-hmm. And they tend to move the fate around them to follow the path
But it's because they're all tied to this one person.
Right.
They are bodhisattvas because he's so powerful he makes them bodhisattvas, is the way they explain it up to the point I read. But Narnia books, four children destined to free Narnia, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. All of that is predestiny.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Why is it that when I was a child, I loved these concepts of predestiny, and as I got older, I started getting less and less interested in stories that dealt with that?
Because, I love Lost. I think Lost is entirely about the universe has collaborated against these characters, that these characters have been twisted, their lives have been twisted, their fate has brought them there, and I love that.
Let's just mention... This is going to probably be a spoiler if you haven't seen the last two episodes or whatever.
Of what?
Of
season
Lost.
Three?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of season three, so...
I haven't seen the last two. I haven't seen the last one.
Well, it's pretty important to this conversation.
Can we just leave out that the last couple? I think we can talk about loss without talking about. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about.
Well, the last. Have you seen the last?
Oh
episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's one thing that they've done really well. I think Lost and what is the other?
BSG does it.
Battlestar
really
Galactic.
Well?
Both of these actually explore this, but they do this in a really interesting way. Okay, which is, for example, if you look at Lost, they talk about. There is a sense of fate. There's a sense of foretelling what must happen. And they start to lead you down this path that, for example, Locke is, he can see it happening. And then they fuck with you.
Right.
Then they turn it around the other way and they put doubt into it. And I think that's what makes it work.
I don't see any doubt. When, Hurley, is it Hurley? Hurley's numbers situation.
Yeah.
That got him there.
Yeah.
To me is about as fatalistic as you could possibly be.
No, but you see it as a malevolent force that's after them entirely.
Well, okay. I just think of the universe. I don't know if it's malevolent. Okay. I think it's the universe
But what I was saying is that I see it as they play it both ways. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Locke, for a while, it looks like the island is really helping him and sending him in a really positive way.
But it's as long as he believes. As long as he believes, and he believes that the island's telling him what to do. As soon as he stops believing and he starts questioning, things start going wrong, and it takes Mr. Echo to restore his faith.
Well, that happened, but also, there's still a question of, at first the island seemed to be helping him and very positive, and then it murdered this one guy.
Right.
I mean, told him to bring the guy here, and the guy got murdered. So now it's like, sure.
Requires a sacrifice.
Well, it required a sacrifice, but the question is, now do you trust the island? Is it a positive force or a malevolent force?
Right.
And
but
so,
does anybody believe who watches Lost that any of those characters were not going to make that flight? Like, that was just...
I'm actually looking forward to where they do an episode, because I think it's just a matter of time before they do an episode where in a flashback you meet someone who didn't make the flight, and that person becomes something
that would be great. That would be great. That would be interesting, mm-hmm. but I still think that would be the fate of the show.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I don't think it's contradictory.
I don't think that those people had free will. I think that I'm not sure if they have an episode where they said, you know what, maybe I shouldn't take this flight.
Oh, no,
I think I will.
Absolutely.
Yes, the Korean woman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She was standing there and made the decision not to walk out that door.
And somehow she ended up on there anyway. Yeah.
Each and every person on that plane, in their backstory, before they get on the plane, mm-hmm. they have to make a decision as mm-hmm. to whether getting on that plane means something to them.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know. I think this is the greatest thing about Lost is this discussion of fate, because to me that's what the entire show is about, is, well, that and each person being lost in themselves, and they have to kind of get over their own problem in order to get off the island, it seems like.
Which so far means dying.
Two people have gotten off the island so far.
That's true. But
they've left the show. We don't know if they're off the island.
The premise at this point, because we've been presented with no other information, mm-hmm. I would assume means that we are left to assume they did get off the island.
And we also don't know that I'm going way out there, that death on the island is just the transportation back to the real world.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Whatever that means. Because every time they solve their personal problem,
they disappear.
They die.
Yeah.
On the other hand, that also could just mean this character is now out of plot hooks. We no longer need
them.
True.
Yeah. Or they got knocked out for a DWI.
Now, but let's also point out that okay.
Or they felt their character was racist and decided to leave.
Well, for example, Echo wanted off. I know he wanted off, and that's why they got rid of him. But they still do make the choice to tie up that plot line
way. Yeah, of course.
They've made that choice. They're not just killing people without having that resolution. So that's either because they need it to feel satisfying or because there's a deeper meaning to that.
Right.
So we're just not – who knows?
Now, Battlestar – Battlestar,
you guys have been noticing I feel like it's an argument between two. Though I believe that it's the argument between the Cylons, who believe in predestiny, and the humans, who believe in free will.
Do the Cylons believe in predestiny?
Absolutely.
No, actually,
God will lead you
the
way.
Give yourself to God.
Give yourself to
God. God will show you
God.
But God showing
diet,
you what to do
deity.
Doesn't mean that he's predetermined your fate. He's presenting options for you.
They constantly say God willed it.
If you give yourself up to God mm-hmm. and just follow what God says to do, mm-hmm. and isn't that giving yourself to predestiny? If you're just obeying someone else, knowing that...
No, if I tell you everything you need to do, mm-hmm. me...
Well, you're certainly not... Always, you're certainly not practicing free will anymore.
Well, but...
You're submitting yourself to someone else's destiny.
You're making a choice to take my advice.
Yeah, but...
But God, I haven't determined... But I don't know what your destiny is.
But the difference... God does.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
the difference between you and the omnipotent...
yeah, the omnipotent deity.
Well, let's... Again, we're coming to two sides of this. There's prophecy, which the humans, gods have. They
True,
have
you're right.
prophecies
you're right.
of where things are, that. And they reuniting and going to this place, where the eye is.
By the way, all this stuff I think is the weakest part of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, and
really?
we're about to hit some spots with spoilers. I think.
Spoilers. But then you also have Baltar.
Okay, spoilers.
Who is also spoken to by, wait, is it six or nine?
Six is the hot
six.
One. Nine is Star Trek.
Okay, sorry. It was six in his head.
Yes.
Who tells him things that are going to happen too? She tells him he has a destiny and a fate, which, mm-hmm. which, but then she fucks with him going back and forth. It's like
literally and figuratively.
Sure. Yeah. So, but yeah, like he's been told that it's his job to raise Hera, the child, mm-hmm. to make sure that she's,
But just because they say that doesn't, that's interesting, yeah.
So, but at the same time, she'll lead him to believe something. And then she'll turn it around on him. She'll go, maybe I'm just a chip in your head. And,
right.
Or in a recent episode, there's a character who believes, this is my destiny to see this vision. This mm-hmm. vision yeah. is my destiny. Nope.
Thank God that plot line's
But maybe ended. It was,
Yeah.
Maybe it was her destiny to see it and stop there.
Well, she did. She did see it. She saw the faces and then something happened.
Well, there was also, it's interesting. Okay, spoiler alert that they did directly... They actually, in the show, directly addressed fate by having the star go nova at the exact point yeah. in which they found the Eye of Zeus. I mean, that just doesn't happen like clockwork. So I assume that they were meaning that they were always meant to find that Eye of Zeus at the exact moment that a star in a star system goes supernova.
Unless something caused it.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's a trigger. Yeah. Right.
There was something I was going to say a little bit ago that I just remembered.
Nova bomb.
We were talking about time travel. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're talking about foreseeing the future. Mm-hmm. There is a version of prophecy that is not like this is what will happen, but it's that sort of quantum version
of many universes.
Which is I can see into the future and I can see many different options and I can see where things are heading now
oh, sure.
and where they will probably arrive, unless certain things happen. Or I can see a way, like there's a prophecy that if you can do this, we can avert a great catastrophe.
But Groundhog this is Day.
This is the path, that you can go.
Or the dead zone. Does anybody read or see the dead zone? Yeah. In the dead zone, he could see the future. But
he could change,
but there were areas in his visions that were the dead zone, the area that was fuzzy, and these were the areas that were not locked into,
right.
Oh, okay. Complete.
Well, I like the idea of Groundhog Day.
He could change the dead zones,
where he basically says, he says, "I'm not the god, I am a god." She's like, "Well, how are you a god?" He's like, "Maybe, how do you know all these things?" She's like, "Maybe God doesn't know everything. Maybe he's just been around a long time." I love that because he's just done everything over and over and over again.
Who here has prophetic dreams?
I do. I had a lot of them when I was younger. I haven't had them in years.
I wish some of them would come true.
Now, a prophetic dream is where you have a dream and then you remember the dream, and then the dream happens, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I have prophetic dreams, okay? Whether that's me just happening to have deja vu at the moment something is occurring and then convincing myself I had the dream, who knows,
right?
But now, speaking of these prophecies and predestinations and all that stuff, when I realize that I'm at a dream point, right, something that I've dreamed, I can choose to take a different action, right? Which may invalidate the dream. Who knows? Or an action that has absolutely nothing to do with me, right, that I'm expecting may not occur because of actions that I've taken differently. For example, the other night, I opened up – I have to take these vitamin supplements. I'm swallowing them when I realize, okay, I've had a dream. I've dreamed this. The phone's going to ring. I'm about to get some very bad news that's really going to upset me, right? And so I sat there staring at the phone, and it never rang, right? So is that because I did something earlier that changed that? Is that because it was a fake dream? You know, I don't know why I'm bringing this up now. There was a point.
Well, no, that's very butterfly effect, you know. That's,
I would say it's only a prophetic dream if you are in...
The phone rang.
Yeah. Obviously, it wasn't prophetic. So I would say it's only a prophetic dream.
Specifically, like, taking the pills out of the bottle and dropping one on the floor and it bouncing the way it did. I remembered every moment of that. I remembered where the pill was going to end up as it was falling. And then I remembered the phone was supposed to ring in a minute and give me really bad news.
Okay.
Everything happened except for the phone ringing.
Okay. Well, normally I would say that a prophetic dream, like, because we all have deja vu. Yeah. We all have moments where we feel like this has happened before, but
it's a glitch in the matrix.
You then have to be able to test that deja vu with the sense that if you feel like you've felt this before, you have to be able to say something is about to happen and then see it happen.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have to then say, you know, boy, you know, that apple is going to fall at exactly this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, or boy, I'm going to see a car go right through the intersection in front of me right now. Like, you have to have it has to pay out.
I had 6 or 7 dreams when I was 12 years old that were so weird and so vivid. I would come and describe them to my dad in the morning. Mm-hmm. And finally, on like the second one or third one, he was like, you should write these down. Mm-hmm. And so I have 7 or 8 dreams that I wrote down when I was 12 years old. So far, 6 of them have all come true. There's still 2 that are wavered.
The 7th
one
is about a menage a trois with him and Claudia Schiffer. And,
right. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
6. Yeah.
Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Hasn't come true, oddly enough.
We should probably wrap this up. But I think it's interesting. You know,
I know there's been studies in which people have been talking about how timeline works. Quantum mechanics is always talking about which way time flows.
Yeah.
All these crazy, crazy theories. In fact, there's tests where people are flashing lights and then analyzing brain, you know, when the brain registers, and they've actually seen that the brain can register it before the freaking light flashes.
There are 3 lights!
I think it's just interesting that, you know, science, our art, our science, our religions are all trying to solve this crazy, you know, feeling that we have.
So I want to bring up a couple quick things. Most of prophecy plays with the idea of free will. Mm-hmm. Can you, you know, the worst prophecy are the ones where there's not a sense of free will, and where the hero wins just because he was prophesied to do it, and you go, okay,
Matrix 2 and 3.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Very good point. Now the opposite of that is that can work very well in a horror film. The Omen is great. You know, I mean, there's a prophecy, and you're trying to fight this devil. You know, you're trying to fight the Antichrist. And it's like, okay, well, you know, is there a way to stop it? You know, and you root for him to try and figure out a way, but, you know, it's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the prophecies can work fine in, like, a horror film, you know, that type of prophecy. But then the other prophecies are in that gray, that middle ground, which is what – the only thing that makes it so interesting is that sense of free will. Are you? Can you? You know, what are the options? You know, how do you make something happen? And
Well, it's not fun if everyone in the movie or the book knows the prophecy is going to be true.
Yeah.
It's just not fun. Well, so you have to write around the fact that you can say your hero is destined to do it and then not believe it.
Right. Or go Delphic. You know, I loved the Oracles of Delphi prophecies because most of the time you read them and you clearly understood what they meant until you reread them. And understood. Oh, the way this was phrased, the wording used could mean something very different from the way
you might not understand it. You know, and in fact, you know that is the version that they use for Star Wars. I think Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 have a brilliant use of prophecy, or the prophecy for Darth Vader, because it's the.
But the follow through.
The follow through is awful, but it's brilliant. You're the one who's going to establish balance to the Force.
Right. You see, I hated that.
Okay.
Because it was clearly the balance was on the good side. So I couldn't figure out why all the good people were like, yeah, balance. Like, the bad guys have been trounced. They have no power.
Bad follow through. But the idea would have been brilliant in the sense that, you know, you're the one that's supposed to keep, you know, bring the. If it had been, in essence, saying you're the one that's going to help the good side, you know, from being destroyed or something, you know.
What would have been great is if the good Jedi in episodes 1, 2, and 3
had been
get
warring.
Corrupt. Right. And that's why he turns to the dark side, because he gets betrayed in a way by. And
that
so
would
he
have been great.
Brings balance by killing the Jedi and then brings balance again. by killing. That would have been great.
Right.
It we should totally rewrite the other episodes.
So, no, how much do you think the rights to Star Wars would cost?
We could do it
are
again.
Are you talking about how much should they cost at this point, now that he's hurt the franchise, or how much they actually do?
Are we? Or can we wrap this up?
You can always wrap on bashing Star Wars now. Absolutely. That's what's sad.
That's it for another Geek Week.
All right, ladies and gents.
Yep, we went a little long because we had a hearty discussion at the beginning, so we won't do a bit this week, but maybe we'll work one in next week.
Excellent.
And Matt and I are now going to go do a two-man enter, one-man leave, geek off.
Yes,
that's right. And if any of you Xbox Live players want to join us, make sure you check the website, www.geekson.com, and go to the forums and join us in some Xbox Live games. Go there to the forums if you want to get in on any of our discussions about the show.
Don't forget to dig us on Dig.com.
Dig.com.
A huge boon to us if we can get our rating up even higher on
Well,
that.
Not only that, but iTunes. Go to iTunes and give us a review. It's our birthday. Geek's on birthday, so show us a
starting
little
illustrious year 3.
Exactly.
Wow.
Crazy. All right, everybody. Have a good geek week.
This is longer than you and my relationships.
Rock it out.
Bye.
Out.